Rock Talk Happy Hour. My name is Mario, here with Kimberly, Britt, and Frank. And this is a podcast where we talk craft beer and music. So every episode, we try different craft beers, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. We try them, discuss them, rate them. Sometimes we learn a little bit about them, all while talking music-related topics. And Frank, what's today's music-related topic?
Today's music-related topics are... I don't know the title exactly, but it's covers. Covers we like, covers we love.
Yep.
Yeah. Covers we're in love with.
Sounds close enough. No, that's spot on. No, you're right. So we're going to be doing that. And this is Britt's birthday episode, too.
Yay!
So,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Britt. So this is her designated birthday episode. Before we kick off the show, we always start off with two little segments. One is a hangover, where we talk about things that, you know, got hungover from last episode. Yeah. That doesn't sound right, got hungover.
Caused us hungover. To have a hangover,
yeah. I guess. Thinking about stuff that maybe we didn't get to mention last episode. And then also, too, we talk about what we're drinking at the moment. So with that said, let's talk about what we're drinking. What are you guys drinking? I know everybody has something.
We're drinking something very exciting.
Well, there's one that we've already, I think, featured on the show.
Okay.
The Athletic Brewing Upside Down.
Yeah.
Golden Ale.
Dang, I think that was like in our very, very like first five episodes.
Yeah, and this one's really good. We do like it. But we do have another one from Upside Down that is still in its pilot program stages. It hasn't been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Chocolate Cherry Stouts.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, just the name of... The name alone itself sounds really good.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
And, you know, Upside Down. Athletic Brewing has not made a disappointing beer. I think a lot of the stuff they've made has been pretty successful. So, I mean, you know, I like the stuff they have. And I know last week we had, what was it, like a dark stout?
Oh, the dark. It was a dark ale?
Yeah. Dark ale, yeah. And that was really good. I really liked it.
Or dark lager, something like that. It was dark lager.
Something like that. Extra dark or something. Yeah. And so, yeah, Athletic Brewing, if you're into the non-alcoholic stuff or if you're still doing the dry January thing, definitely look for Athletic Brewing. They've got about 5-6 beers out right now. I think they've got a few more in the works. But they're becoming a little more mainstream, I think, Athletic Brewing. So we're going to try this one real quick, the Chocolate Cherry Stout.
Oh, you haven't tried it yet?
I have not tried it yet.
I haven't sipping on it.
But, oh, okay.
But it smells nice. So let's see.
I think it's really good.
Wow.
It tastes like chocolate and cherry.
It does, yeah.
Huh. Oh,
it's
okay.
It's a nice little dessert-y.
Is it a dessert beer?
I don't know if it's a dessert
it's a
beer.
It's stout. I mean, it's for sure a stout. Yeah. It's chocolatey, but it's got like fruity notes in it too and like a little sour at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice.
So what do you rate it?
4.3
for bread. Okay.
I think maybe it needs to sit in the fridge for a little bit more for me to get like the fuller
it sitting here on the table waiting for us for a while.
Oh, okay.
Well, apparently what I had learned, I don't know if this is true for all the styles, but I think with these guys, maybe the IPAs too, that if you let them warm up a little bit, like not be as cold, the flavor profiles usually pop up more.
Oh, okay.
Pop out more.
But yeah, I wonder, because since it's a stout style.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and I remember when, you know, back when I was drinking alcohol, stouts, I could only drink if they were like super, super cold, super chilled.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, when you drink them just regular, cool.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they seem to lose their flavor a little bit, and I guess because it's like the dairy content that's in it.
Is there really dairy?
Dairy in them?
I don't know.
I know some of them have lactose in them.
Yeah,
milk stout.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if like all stouts do. I think it's more just the
one thing. Yeah, like the milk stouts.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah,
like a thing like the nitros and the so
there's a Guinness one too.
Yeah, there is. But for me, it's, you know, previously, you know, milk stouts had to be like really, really cold for me to enjoy them.
Frank Stalling, what's your rating?
right now, because it's a little not so
cold,
cool, I'm gonna give it a 4. But I'll get back to you on that once they sit in the fridge a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably have a different rating, but for now it's a 4.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kim, what are you drinking?
I got my Wine Yeti again.
Wine Yeti again. Okay.
Nice.
Awesome. But this time I have the Trader Joe's Charles Shaw Red Blend. Oh, yeah. Which was like $3, I think.
Nice.
For the bottle. And apparently it is a Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot blend.
I think that's the variety that they used to sell for $2, and they referred to it as Two Buck Chuck. Huh. Wasn't the name of Charles? Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I guess it, inflation, it went up.
Yes. Yeah.
But I like it. I think it's good.
What do you rate it?
Like a 4.5?
4.5. Okay.
Nice. Mm.
And then me, I'm trying to sour. I've been trying to stay away from the stouts and the what are the other ones again? Stouts.
IPA?
No, not the IPAs. The other dark ones.
Well, the porters?
Sorry. I haven't had a porter in a while. That's why I forgot. But yeah, for a while, I was like trying the porters, and then I like kind of stopped. But yeah, so this one, I got a Blue Owl Brewing from Austin, Texas. It's called Van Dam Sour Red Ale. So I think this is more like Irish style ale. It tastes pretty good. The front end sour, and then the back end's a little more bitter. It has like a dark bitter taste to it. I want to taste it one more time. Yeah, it just tastes like an Irish ale that's sour in the front.
Yeah,
it's not bad. I mean, I like it.
But does it make it go Van Dam?
Nah, it doesn't. So, since it doesn't, what's my rating? I don't know. I give it like a 3.9. I mean, it's not... Nah, you know what? I'll give it a 4. I mean, I could drink another one of these. It's not... There's nothing bad about it. It doesn't taste bad. The aftertaste is not like... It's not horrible. It's just there. But yeah, I don't think it affects it in a negative way. So, I'm going to go with like a 4. Mm-hmm. An even 4. Yeah, that's what I got. So, with that, you guys have any hangover?
Hangover. So. You know, I was thinking about some bands that I used to be in high school, but I don't even know if that counts because those bands went nowhere.
Wait, what was the last topic? Oh, bands that changed. Yeah, no, that definitely doesn't count.
It's not really a hangover. I just had something I wanted to correct myself on from my story about meeting Chevelle.
Okay.
Sam plays a Vader 5B. I think I had said like 5A or something, which is what I play. But he plays the 5B. So
okay. Yeah, we got a lot of hate mail on that.
But they released a new single today, and it was pretty good. I mean,
it was
their first one that they released was better. Yeah, I agree, but this one was like, you know, it's good. It's good to hear new music from them, so that's always a plus.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know much about drumsticks. Is a 5B thicker than a 5A, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think the thinner one, the thinnest ones are the 5A's.
Yep. My dad, because he plays drums as well, and he uses a B, I think. And when he plays with mine, or like he has mine on accident, he's like, they feel like toy sticks because they're smaller.
Yeah. I remember when Lars already came out with his signature drumsticks. I think they were like aluminum.
Yeah, they got aluminum. I had a pair of those. Oh, excuse me. I had a pair of those. I don't know what happened to them. Those weren't bad. I mean, they're all right. We had the aluminum ones. I don't know if they still have them.
I have a pair of Barker Zildjian drumsticks. I've never really played with Zildjian sticks before, but...
And another thing I'm curious about...
I have a pair of Joey Jordison sticks.
Is... Because I know, like, with guitars and basses, you know, wood, for sure, affects the tone. Now, I know some woods are lighter than others.
It affects drumsticks, too.
So, what's the typical, more common
wood?
Hickory?
Yeah, I think so. But I know definitely there's different, like, the wood specifics are very, drummers look at that, too. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the weight. Some are... I forgot what stick it is. It's, like, super light. Like, it could be, like, a 2B, and it's still, like... It's not as dense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really like those dense ones.
My favorite are the Vader Nudes Hickory 5As.
Oh, those are nice, yeah.
Because they don't have the slickness on them. Like, they don't have finish on them. So, like, my hands get really sweaty because they get really nervous and stuff. And so they don't feel like they slip too much.
Yeah.
But I do get rowdy blisters from them after playing, like,
I see.
A lot, like a hour set or whatever.
I know some drummers, I mean, some like to play with with drums. Mm-hmm. I mean, with drums, obviously. No, but they'll wear like the but they'll wear like, you know, like gloves and whatnot. Yeah.
My dad uses like a wax, and last time I used his sticks, and then like my hands just felt like sticky, and I was like this.
I remember.
I'd rather just have the nude stick.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? Because it creates like grip and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I know some drummers will put like bicycle grip tape on their drumsticks.
That's what I was going to say. So they actually, well, I know they have drummer specific tape too, which is the same thing. But I remember Drumline, I used to use that, and it would kind of suck because, well, my hands get sweaty naturally too, which is affects me playing guitar too. But playing drumsticks, I would use the tape, mm-hmm. right, for grip. But what would suck was that the tape would get, I know it sounds disgusting, it would get mm-hmm. wet.
Yeah.
And then it would just like get stay soggy, wet. Yeah. Like, and then it was just uncomfortable. And, yeah. Right, so that didn't help me at all, but I think that works if your hands don't get sweaty because it's just going to be extra grip. Mm-hmm. But yeah, either way, just it sucked. Strings, the same thing. I have to get coated strings because I have what they call acid hands, mm-hmm. and my I guess just the acid and the sweat in my hands eats through regular strings super mm-hmm. quick, so they'll corrode regular strings. Like, so I have to use coated strings. Yeah,
you know, and I never used coated strings until I think I played your bass. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the strings, like the sound, it pops more.
Yeah,
like it sounds crisper.
Yeah, so yeah. I only stick with the DRs, uh-huh. and then the only other ones.
On
yeah, it's the so the DR coated ones, and then the only other ones that I use are clear tone clear coat strings. Those are pretty cool too, which are the signature series that Pete from Chevelle has. But I was using clear tone mm-hmm. when. I think I found out like DR, they didn't have a gauge that I needed. And I was like, oh, let me try these clear tones. And they were pretty good too. So those are like the only two basically mm-hmm. string brands that I use. But when it comes to coated strings.
Right.
But
I just needed to correct myself.
Yeah, no.
That's cool. I don't want to put the wrong information out there.
I
don't want to make it seem like he had like small hands or something. Like, he plays a 5A.
I use 5A. No, I'm just kidding. I got a hangover. So you guys remember how we were talking about then we got to the story that I had about Theory of a Dead Man shortening their name to Theory.
Yes.
And that I believe the singer stated that he kind of compared it to Chili Peppers sometimes shortening their name to Chili Peppers. And I was like, I never seen them do that. Like, we've seen fans do that. It was so mm-hmm. funny because a few days ago, it was this past weekend, we had gone to CD Exchange and I found a single mm-hmm. of Chili Peppers. So I tagged them and I didn't realize that their Instagram handle is not Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's not RHCP. It's just Chili Peppers. Huh. So I'm like, I guess they do reference themselves as Chili Peppers as well. I guess I never really noticed it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was still dumb. You know, the whole conversation we had about Theory changing their name. Just because they actually changed their name. Shorter. Chili Peppers didn't change their name. It's just a shortened version of their name.
It's a nickname.
Yeah, it's kind of like a nickname, yeah. The last piece of Hangover Head was we were talking about names, and Frank brought up Ghost. Yes. And I wanted to mention Ghost, and I was like, damn it, I forgot to do my research. So when Frank first told me about Ghost was Ghost BC. Mm-hmm. So when I did the, I actually went digging in, Wikipedia had actually all the info I needed. So Ghost formed in 2006. Mm-hmm. When they formed, they actually formed as Ghost, just Ghost. So, and I know you mentioned that they were something about Ghost BC being Ghost BC, like outside the States or something.
Yeah.
So the story is Ghost BC was only a thing here in the US.
Oh.
So what happened was in 2006, they were Ghost. 2013, because of legal reasons, they had to change their name. So they added the BC. And then in 2015, they dropped the BC. And it was all because of legal reasons. Okay. So this was a statement that one of the Nameless Ghouls said in an interview about that. He said, BC is obviously a pun on before Christ, but it's just an amendment. In our world, we're just going to be called Ghost. The BC is silent, and as soon as we can, it's going to be taken away forever. Okay. So basically, they just added it to get rid of the legal thing that was going on, and then pretty much just like he said, as soon as that was done, they dropped the BC and now they're back to Ghost. So basically it was Ghost BC, back to Ghost. But BC was just here in the States.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess there was another band somewhere or something called Ghost and they had to fix that legal issue. And until they had it fixed, they had to add the BC. But to them, BC was never really part of the name. It was just there to get rid of the loophole. Which is pretty smart.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Ghost is one of those bands that surprised me. you know, in terms of popularity, because they're not like a mainstream band. They're not on the radio, but they have quite a devoted following.
Well, they've had some singles in the past few years. I know their last album, I think it was Requiem.
Right.
That one had a pretty good, it was well received. And a lot of people, like, I think it even got some mainstream success too. And I think a couple of singles on their previous album, I think Cersei.
Okay.
Dude, that was playing on like top 20 for like
really
when that came
out. Okay, like, I didn't know
for I don't know how long.
Okay,
and then Squarehammer, I think, was another single that did pretty good too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, when they you're right though, when they first initially came out, they were like that. But their following grew from those initial albums.
See.
Yeah, when they were like BC or stuff like that. Yeah,
you know, I was a big fan of the first album. Is it self titled? I think I'm not sure.
I don't remember what it's called.
The first album. It had, it, you know, it just had this really dark 70s like hard rock vibe to it with the keyboards and whatnot. And also too, their shows are very theatrical, and that's another thing that also pulls me in is just how good they are with their theatrics live.
I've always wanted to go to a Ghost show. I remember the one time I wanted to go, I ended up not going. I think it was like in September, October. I think it was in October. I think it was close to Halloween. And man, I ended up not going. I regret not going. But
Ghost is somehow.
Oh, yeah. You had said something about this. That a member...
It's my ex-husband's wife's sister is in the band. Ex-husband's
wife's sister is in the... That's crazy. That's insane. That's pretty cool, though. I mean...
Yeah.
So, what is that? We didn't we talk about this? I said, like, we were talking about the 6 degrees of... Is it 6 degrees of separation? Is that the number?
I think it's six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Six degrees
of Kevin Bacon.
But it's that rule. Yeah. Six degrees. Yeah. Okay, I was trying to remember the degrees.
Is it like how everything is related to Kevin Bacon or something?
Yeah,
like
something like that. Eventually, it'll get back to him. So there's that. All right. Well, I guess if you guys don't have anything else, also too, if you guys want to interrupt later, we can just take a beer break and change beers, because I have one more beer that I bought to try. Okay. Yeah, I guess we can go into it. So I don't know. I know we all have a different amount. We had agreed on 5 before we recorded the episode when we talked about it last weekend. But I know sometimes some of us, I'm talking about the ladies, they like to talk a lot. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're really chatty, yeah. Me and Kim.
No, but sometimes like we talk a lot about stuff. And I knew this one was going to get probably a little weird or crazy, I should say. Crazy, I should say. Especially since what I want to do is... for some of these songs, if you want, just to real quick listen to the original and the cover and compare them real quick, and then whoever has it on their list, they rate them. So, like, let's say whatever you have on yours, we'll listen to the original, you rate it, and you rate the cover too. Not us, we'll listen to it, but yeah, we'll just discuss them and see what we can still see what everyone thinks about them. But just that person rated, and we'll
like
go
just
like
the first 30 seconds or something.
Yeah, we could do that. We could listen to like the beginning of the, and skip to the chorus and whatnot.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, so yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Sure.
So who wants to go first?
Cool, sounds good.
I think Frank had a longer list.
Yeah, and he feels
he
very
has notes over there.
Okay. Well, I mean, okay. So I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to preface this with saying that for me, covers are, it's, there's no gray area. It's either black or white. I either love it or I don't love it. And I feel like if you're going to do a cover, you have to really try to make it your own. And there's a lot of them out there that don't even really try to stray much from the original, and it ends up sounding like the original.
Yeah.
And not that that's all bad, but I feel like if you're gonna do a cover, like definitely try to make it your own type thing. Yeah. But with that, you know, I do have some on my list that stay somewhat close to the original, but you can tell there's definitely like a bit of a spin on the band who's doing that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start mine off. Okay. With Pantera's cover of Planet Caravan.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's like a good one. And this one, you know, it's one that doesn't stray too far from Black Sabbath's original, which to me it's a bit of a shame because I feel like it could have really had its own identity if, you know, they experimented a little more. But I do feel that Pantera's version is more hypnotic. You know, it adds more of a mystique to it. You know, and Dimebag's guitar tone, like, it's unmistakable. Mm-hmm. Like you know that's his tone. It's very bluesy, and you know, especially when he gets to the solo. And I think the solo is the part of the song that tries that actually breaks away from the original and gives the song its own voice. And you know, Pantera, Ozzy, Black Sabbath, they go way back, you know. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's no surprise that, you know, Pantera, of course, they were influenced by Black Sabbath. So mm-hmm. to me, it's no surprise that they did the cover version of Planet Caravan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little bit of the Black Sabbath version, and then we'll let Frank rate it. Let me see. See if I'm not having any technical difficulty. I know it starts with like an intro. Mm-hmm. Oh no, there it goes. Also, I forgot about that vocal effect. Yeah. And then it's crazy because like this has or like the bongos are real.
Yeah,
like you can really they pop. I guess we can jump to that. Well, first off, what do you rate the Black Sabbath version?
The Black Sabbath version, I do like. I'd give it like a 4 out of 5.
Okay, and then let's hear the Pantera version real quick.
And also too, what I like about it is that this song came out in like what, late early 70s or so?
Ooh, it came out when Paranoid came out. That's the album it was on.
Yeah, so like 73, 74, yeah, something like that. So I think, you know, I'm still pretty impressed by older recordings and like the type of magic that goes on in the recording session of it, you know. And like there's some times when I listen to older stuff and I'm thinking, man, like this was going on at that time.
Well, because like also too, like a lot of those in that time, like they didn't use any kind of modules, or they didn't do any kind of, like, it was all like, okay, we got to make this sound, let's experiment. Like I know there were stories of Led Zeppelin, I don't know what song it was, where like in order for them to get the effect they wanted, they had the microphone on the opposite side of a hallway in the recording studio to get the effect they wanted. And like they just did all this weird stuff with mics. It was just mic technique. And I don't think a lot of, in my experience from the studios I've gone to like in the past 10 years,
right,
people don't do that anymore. Like I remember when we were recorded our first demo, it was mics to the amps,
right,
and it was like moving around. And then now it's like, okay, let's find a, what's it called? It's a, like the little patch in the software. And
all you do is just like, tell the guy, make me sound like this.
And yeah,
just,
and then he'll like move the mic digitally on the amp. And he'll pick the amp digitally and pick the effect digitally. I'm like, dude, get your ass up. Put the mic on the amplifier.
It's also like how Van Halen, like in some of their earlier stuff, to get like that really big boomy drum sound. You know, they would double the bass kicks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because obviously, you know, they do double bassing, but they would do like double doubles, to give it more of that boom.
Yeah.
And I like stuff like that, you know, because it's like you're trying to get the most out of your sound by adding like more to it instead of just like manipulating digitally some stuff.
You like know? I remember one time I went to a studio and you weren't with me in this band, but so I went and I took my, you've seen how big my amp is.
Yeah.
I took my amp and everything. I think I took my head too. So I go and then the guy is all like, oh no, I don't need your amp. I just need the head. I was like, what? So he hooked up the head and then hooked it up to a digital amp where like he picked the amp and then picked the effect. I'm like, dude, I have my effects here with me. Like, these are the effects I want to use.
Right.
So, it was very interesting. But here's the Pantera version of Planet Caravan. So.
Yeah, so. It sounds very close to the original.
But it also sounds more rounded. Like, it sounds more full. Mm-hmm.
True.
And I like how Phil Anselmo doesn't have the heavy effect that Ozzy had in that other recording. It's just his voice with a little bit of probably like reverb on there, but it's nothing like major. That because I think that one song that we heard, there's not a lot of Ozzy songs that have heavy effects like that on his voice.
No.
I think that's the only one I could think of now.
I think, you know, the reason why I give it a 4 and not like anything higher is because I think his voice sounds too reverby.
Yeah.
It sounds too wet. No, you know,
you're talking about the Aussie version.
Yeah, the Aussie
version. But he also has some like kind of tremolo effect on there.
Something on there. Which is interesting because when you hear it, you know, Aussie's voice is very distinctive.
Yeah, it is.
So you know it's him. But when you hear that song with the effects on it, it's like that doesn't sound like Aussie.
Yeah, it doesn't. So what do you rate this Pantera version?
The Pantera one. This might be a sin, but I actually give it a little bit of a higher rating than Black Sabbath's original.
I don't think so. I think that's fair. I mean, you see, that's what happens when a cover is done right. Yeah. When sometimes you forget, or when
that people, it is a cover.
That it is like, a cover, oh. And you're like, oh shit, somebody else did it before. Or sometimes too, like in some circumstances, the cover overshadows the original completely, and no one ever knows who the original artist is. Yeah. Unless you're like researching, or you're a audiophile or something. But I was good. I agree with that.
And actually too, I give them props for doing a not mainstream song to cover. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like Planet Caravan is one of those like deep cuts. Mm-hmm. You know, and to cover a deep cut and actually get on the radio because of it.
And it's still playing on the radio.
Yeah, it still plays on the radio. And I wouldn't doubt that their version, you know, gained Black Sabbath some new fans as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So
usually that happens, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Pantera did very good with their cover. I think they gave it a bit more life to it, even though it sounds very close to the original. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it does sound more rounded.
Yeah.
It, you know, again, it doesn't stray too far from the original, but it does sound very, very good.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah, no, I agree. You know, yeah. And then with that, also too, I want to let everybody know that I have a master covers playlist on our Spotify. So if you want to check it out, go to rocktalkhappyhourpod.com and then click on the little Spotify icon. There's two icons up there, one for the show, one for our show playlist. So this show specifically is not going to get a playlist, only because pretty much I think all the songs we mentioned are going to be on that playlist. If they're not, I'm going to add them. But right now there's over 10 hours of music on there. Just covers. You'll find the originals and the cover and the cover versions. So if you guys want to check that out, it's a fun playlist for me personally. I love covers. I love looking for covers in their physical form when I can't find them, whether it be B-sides or soundtracks. But yeah, so that was a good pick for Frank. I guess we can go this way. Britt, you want to go? What you got?
Sure. I think the first one on my list of three is a song called Alone Again Or.
Okay.
And the original version was done in 1968 by a band called Love.
Okay, I found it.
And then the cover version, well, there are many covers of this one, but the one that I love is From the Damned.
From the Damned,
and they covered it in the late 80s and 87. So it's I don't know. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you the history of the song or anything. I just know that I knew it was a cover, and it's a favorite song of mine, and I love the Damned version.
Before I play the original one by Love, do I know it?
I'm gonna ask Britt this
all the time.
I know, and I'm really bad at predicting this because I'm like, yeah, you do, and then he's
I think that's only happened once.
Yeah,
I think most of the time, well, or twice. I don't know. Let's see. So this is the Love version of "Alone Again." Or let's see. Does it have an intro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very. This version sounds super 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to like get a handle on it like that. Does it have wait like a second?
That's what I was going to be like.
Yeah.
Just wait a second. Yeah. There's like
because it's a short song. It's not that long.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
There we go. I heard a funny thing. Somebody said to me, I want to dance.
Yeah, like in a mini skirt.
Go-go boots.
Yeah.
So what do you rate this version?
I like it less than the cover. But I mean, you know, I'm not afraid of some sweet 60s sounds. So I don't know, a 3.7 probably.
3.7. Okay.
So was this a song that had some success when it came out?
I think so, because it was popular enough for a lot of people to cover it, not just
I saw
like
it on
all
the
at
list.
Once later. I mean, like it's still being covered and you know, the Damned covered it in 87, but prior to that it got covered as well, like all through the 70s and stuff too. So
let's hear the Damned version.
Damned version.
Let's hear that Damned version. Let's see. I really like this one better.
I also really like the video. It's like set in the desert.
Yeah.
And they're riding horses and stuff.
And Dave Manian's got his black hat, that really cool black hat, and they're all, it's a pretty sweet video.
Yeah, no, I like this version better too.
Me too.
Also, too, I think around this time, the Damned sort of like strayed a little bit from their punk roots, and they started doing more like experimental stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, weren't they more punk? And then I was hearing it, and I was like, it sounds more. I don't know if new wave's the right.
It sounds like it could be like their song. Like that's what I like about when covers are done right. When it sounds like this could easily have been their song.
Right.
That's when they get picked correctly. Because there's some bands like I can just throw out there right now, like Five Finger Death Punch, who like cover a song and it's like, why did you pick it? Like, it doesn't suit you.
Yeah,
you didn't add anything to it.
Yeah,
and to their defense, there are a couple of covers that they've done that I do like. I can mention it real quick because it's not gonna ever be on any of my lists, but they did a cover of Bad Company's Bad Company.
Okay,
and I like the original. Yeah. And their version was not bad. I liked it. It was a little more heavy. Or more updated, I should say, but they didn't do anything that took away from it, unlike some of the other covers they'd done, like more recent, that just they missed the mark, like totally. Okay. They weren't even close. Mm-hmm. But so what do you rate this version, Brett? I like the trumpets.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like this one a lot. I like a 4.7.
Okay. Oh, so you're okay, yeah, it's way up there. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I dig it. I like it. So I got to put this on the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And hopefully, because right now, it doesn't matter. We're not like sponsor or anything. But I'm using Pandora. So Spotify, I fight with Spotify a lot.
I think it's a lot of user error.
No, I don't think so.
And the fact that he won't splurge for the premium.
Well, I want to, but it's because I have like so many, like I have Pandora. And then, I think Amazon Music I have because I have... Prime.
Right.
So, and I used to like using Amazon Music a lot too. And then, like, I don't know, I'm just all over the place. So, anyways, so Kim, you're next. What you got?
I have Pink Floyd's Run Like Hell covered by Kitty.
I didn't
know. Off their Oracle album.
Okay.
And I like it.
I was not expecting that. I didn't know that.
A lot. You didn't know they covered it?
I didn't know that about
that. Really? Oh, I knew something Mario didn't know. Yay!
That's not even on the list, on the master list. Oh, I didn't know.
Because you told me not to tell you anything.
Yeah, I know. I wanted it to be a surprise.
Boom,
I thought you were going to say another brick in the wall.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that too, because I remembered the Korn one. And I was like,
No.
Well, Korn was crazy, was they did the cover of 1, 2, and 3 together. Yeah. And I remember when it got released, I was like, man, this is long, but it's because... Yeah, they did all 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's let me play the original one, okay. And then we'll talk about it. Are you familiar with the original?
Not really.
Okay. Let's see. Am I familiar with the original?
Really? Not?
No. I think I know the song. I think I just didn't know the. Yeah, I know the song.
Good.
If you took a lot of shrooms, you won't remember.
Mario did a lot of drugs in the 60s.
In the 60s, yeah.
With that bro. It's fitting.
All right, Kim, well, you're going to have to listen to it a little bit and tell me what you rated.
I mean, it's all right. I don't hate it. I've probably only ever heard it like one other time. And maybe not even in its entirety. Kind of like right now.
It sounds very era specific.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It sounds very Pink Floyd.
I mean, that too.
Yeah.
So what do you rate it?
Three point eight.
Okay, let's hear the Kitty version that I apparently did not know about.
I'm so like... Wow, I knew something Mario didn't know. It's awesome.
It doesn't sound like it.
Mm-mm, no. But it's good.
Oh yeah, I'm done. I'm not gonna say that it's not, because... Also, too, the drop tuning kind of changes.
Yeah.
would take me a really long time to realize that this is a cover of that song. Yeah. Like, if I just were someplace and I heard it, I'd have to really concentrate to notice.
I'll fast forward a little bit.
Go for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's kind of cool because, like, to me, I'm not really a big fan of Pink Floyd.
No.
So, like, I mean, I could recognize, like, if it's a good song, you know, I'm not going to be a big fan of all their discography, but I like this.
I love this.
What do you rate this? It sounds totally different, and it sounds something they wrote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why you probably, like... No, I guess you just didn't. You're not familiar with the Oracle album then, are you?
Not too much, okay. No.
So, I guess I'd give it probably like a 4.7.
Okay,
maybe
cool.
Let's go with that.
Did this song have a video?
I have no idea.
The kiddie version? Because I definitely remember hearing it on the radio. I just don't know if they made a video for it. Yeah.
What the heck?
I just remembered hearing it off of that album.
Interesting.
Wow, and I'm still shocked. Mario didn't know.
I don't know everything. Like, let me see.
But you know a lot, so I'm like shocked.
Let's see. So, for mine, it might be a shocker to probably Frank more than anybody else. So this first one, this cover, the original, was by Duran Duran.
Heck yeah.
From '82.
I just wanted to tell you, are celebrating their 40th anniversary right now. Yep.
Yeah, happy birthday, Duran Duran.
Yeah.
So this song that I like a lot is The Chauffeur from '82, from their '82 album Rio. It was their second album. And you guys know how I feel about Deftones. I don't. If I find something that I like of theirs, I'll give them props. But they're not one of my. They're not on my list of like favorite bands.
Right.
But the cover they did of Duran Duran's Chauffeur is like one of my favorite covers ever. I love that song. Just the way it sounds, like it sounds so like dreamy. And I think the effects on the guitars and I think Chino's voice to me works very well with that song and the instrumentation. So they actually released that cover for the Resident Evil Apocalypse soundtrack, which is how I came across it. I love soundtracks. At the time, I was big on Resident Evil, and I was following those movies, going to the theaters when they came out. The first three after that, I was like, they started to suck. But anyways, so the first three movies came out with soundtracks, which is what I love when movies release soundtracks, and it's all from like, I think the first two soundtracks were from Roadrunner, and then the third one was from some other label. So So, Deftones cover, this is the first time that it appeared anywhere. It was in 2004. Then the song came out again in 2005 on their B-Sides and Rarities album. Then it came out again in 2011 for their Record Store Day exclusive of their covers vinyl. That was only limited to like 5,000 copies. This is one of my favorite ones, and I'm sure Britt and Frank are probably familiar with the original. The original is very good, too. Yep. So I'm going to play the original real quick. And then compare it.
The Rio album's closing track, The Chauffeur, was written by Simon Le Bon prior to...
What is this?
That's part of a podcast that's happening right now in celebration of their 40th anniversary. It's like a big thing. Yeah. So they're like cut all these like audio clips about the history of it and stuff.
Interesting. I was like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, because I heard some of it earlier.
So... Speaking of loving the cover, I love the original too.
Yeah.
The same thing. It sounds like I like this little synth thing that's going on. The vocals, Chino used like pretty much the exact vocal effect.
This just sounds like something like in his alley, in his realm. Yeah, it just like,
exactly. Yeah.
With the voice effects.
With the voice effects, yes. But then you go with the instrumentation, and I just love how he's talking about like the aphids and stuff, and it sounds like a dreamy, like, morning kind of song, like. Yeah, like when it kicks in a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's just like real, like, I don't know what the word is. It's just real, like a surreal kind of mood. Like,
yeah.
And then like when the synth drums come in, and it's just awesome. I think this song, like the original, I give it like a 4.5. Like it a lot. Actually, probably go like a 4.6. It's really good.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go into the Deftones version. This is the 2005 remaster. Mm-hmm. So this one came. This one was the version that came out on their B-sides and rarities.
Right.
Play this real quick. Actually, no. This is from the. Yeah, this is the 2005. So right off the bat, you replace the synth with the guitar. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Chino's voice comes in, it sounds similar to the original, but in Chino's voice. And I just like the layered guitars here.
Yeah.
Like that effect right there sounds really like industrial, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, but I would say like industrial.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Dude, sounds like the same thing.
Yeah.
But what I like about this one is that when it kicks in, like it just goes off when it kicks in. So I'm going to fast forward since we know. So right here, instead of the synth drums, you get... Acoustic drums,
yeah.
From here.
I feel like I'm listening to the same song, except
you'll see.
Modernized.
But it's, you can tell it's more like, it's not as spaced out, like it's not spacey.
Yeah.
It's still dreamy, but it has a again, like with the Planet Caravan thing, it sounds more full. It's not as, there's not a lot of space. As much space as there was on the original song.
Right. You guys
get what I'm saying? I'm going to fast forward. So this is like the end part when it's just like... Mm-hmm. This is basically like the outro, but it's just like... And the guitar and the drums just go off pretty much at the end. It's like the last like minute and a half is just drums and guitar going off.
Yeah.
And I dig it a lot. Like, I give it a 5.
You know, and the interesting thing about Deftones is that you have all sorts of like influences. Like Steph Carpenter is really into like the heavier guitar stuff, and then Frank, their keyboardist, he's really into hip hop, you know. And then their bassist Sergio, he's very into like the hardcore punk stuff, and Chino, he's very much into like the new wave stuff.
Yeah,
and I think that's always been like a problem, not a problem, but it's always been like a point of contention because it's like, Chino wants to explore the more feminine side of the band, while the other members want to go in a harder direction, so often they have to compromise. That's why whenever you listen to a Deftones album, you'll hear, like, you can hear the compromise, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. But, I mean, they make it work for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's not something that I'm into, but when they do it a certain way and I like it, I like it. And this was one of those examples. I don't know how you feel about this cover, because I know you're a Deftones fan, but how do you feel about this cover? Like, what would you... I'm going to go ahead and let you rate it, too, because I know you're such a big Deftones fan.
It's a good cover. I just feel like it's a bit sleepy.
That's why I like it. I like that it's sleepy, like, because the original one was to me. And it's... They're just both...
All their stuff sleepy.
I just... I don't know. But, yeah, no, I mean... So that was my that was the first one on my list. Right. Not my number one cover of all, you know, favorite of all time, but it's on my top three for today.
Cool.
What's your next one?
My next one, another song that also doesn't stray too far from the original, but definitely has its own touch to it, is Metallica's Turn the Page. And, you know, and I've said it before, this is from an era of Metallica that I really like, their hard rock era, that I'm hopeful at some point in the future, though, you know, explore
it again
some more. You know, and it's nothing against like their thrash stuff, but when they got into their hard rock phase, like that's when I really got into Metallica. Yeah. You know, and you know, again, like I said, it's a song that doesn't stray too far from Bob Seger's version, the original. You know, but it definitely has the Metallica touch to it. And I think one of the things I really like about this song. Several things is I feel that Metallica added a certain darkness to it that the original doesn't quite have. And then, you know, especially when you hear the song and then you watch the video that comes with it, the video just amplifies that darkness even more. I think the original Bob Seger version, it's about a musician who's just traveling around.
Yeah.
You know, and then you watch the Metallica version, the video, and it's like the mom was a sex worker who's got a kid and she strips and she hooks for money and whatnot. And it's a difficult video to watch, and you know, and it's for one, and MTV ended up having to play that video like after 10 because of how controversial it was.
Yeah.
And another thing that I really like is when you listen to Kirk Hammett's lead parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I sound a little nuts saying this, but I feel like the agony, you know, really comes through in his lead work. Like, you know, like it's like the song crying out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like Kirk perfectly captures the pain and agony of the song through his lead work.
So let's listen to the first one, and then we can, if you got more to say on the Metallica version, we'll talk about that too. But let's listen to the, I know we're all familiar with the original version.
Yeah.
Right? Safe to say.
This is from 72 also. About being on the road. See, here I am. On the road again. There I am.
This is very like not blues, but very I don't know what the genre is.
Sounds a little folky.
Folky, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the genre. Yeah. Like bordering on that old school country kind of.
But you just want to explore.
Of course, real quick. Here I am. Okay, so what do you rate the original version?
The original, I feel. I think. Isn't this a live version?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the original.
Because I couldn't find a studio.
I think I would give it a 3.5.
3.5. Yeah. Okay, so Metallica's Turn to Page.
The original has that.
Like that saxophone.
The saxophone, yeah.
Ugh. I love the saxophone.
Sorry. Maybe. When saxophones try to be sexy, like.
Trying to be sexy.
Keeping it sexy.
Right. That is not right. You cannot make that instrument sexy no matter how hard you try.
Well, luckily the Metallica one didn't start with saxophone.
Yeah.
The feel sounds similar on this one. But then this is when it kind of turns Metallica.
Right.
Just pretty early on.
And this one, you know, if you didn't know it was a cover, you would think it's like one of theirs. Yep. Like a B-side that just didn't make it.
For the longest time, I didn't. There was a lot of... this was when I was younger. I didn't know that Garage Incorporated was like all covers. I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was probably one of the first Metallica albums I heard, and I was like, man, these songs are fucking killer.
And then, it was the same thing when they, you know, on the same album, they also covered Thin Lizzy's "Whiskey in a Jar."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I remember watching the video and thinking it's such a cool video because you have Metallica.
The party
and yeah, like
I posted every St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
And again, too, that's another one I didn't know was a cover.
Yeah. And it's actually a cover of a cover. That's it's a folk song.
Right. Like
actually.
Many Irish folk songs, it's got a zillion versions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you see, when I first, I was like, oh, I was like, this is a Thin Lizzy cover. I'm not a fan of Thin Lizzy. But then I found out. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But
well, I was just going to tell you when Frank and I were walking in the neighborhood, we saw a truck and it had a bumper sticker. And what did it
That's
say?
What did it say?
It said, if you don't like Thin Lizzy, go fuck yourself.
Alrighty then. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just not a fan of Thin Lizzy. And then I found out that, you know, they covered it. And I was like, oh, it's a folk song. I had no idea.
And I think Metallica's version is inspired by Thin Lizzy's version.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. They definitely ran with a Thin Lizzy version. But then it's cool because it picks up and then there's that bridge where it just goes very chill. I think it's really cool.
There it is.
And then this is when Kirk just blasts in.
Smoke the day's last cigarette. Remembering what she said.
Bob Seger's version does the same thing, but I think this does it more dramatically.
Mm. Yeah.
So what do you rate this Metallica version?
This one I give a 4.5.
What? 4.5?
I think it's good. Huh. Yeah.
Okay. What did you give the Bob Seger version?
3.5.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's close enough to the original one, but it's not like it's still recognizable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so
I find it funny, but I love it how like episodes back we're like, I don't like you know, I'm not a big fan of Deftones. And then Frank's like, I don't like Metallica, but like, here we are.
That is, that is interesting. That's funny. Yeah. Britt, what you got?
My next one is a Joy Division song.
Okay.
Dead Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And the original is from 1979, and the cover is by Nine Inch Nails, and that was 1994, and it's on the Crow soundtrack.
Okay, so Joy Division did it first.
Joy Division did it first. It's called Dead Souls.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the Nine Inch Nails, you said, is from the Crow soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love when that's soundtracks are the best places.
They are, and it's a really good version.
Do you have anything to say about the Joy Division version, or you want to hear it? Are you going to listen to it?
I think that we all need to hear it.
Okay. Let's see if I know it. Okay, I'm going to play it right now.
It's definitely more punk sounding than, like, once we get into the cover version of it. Now, was this one? I don't think this one made it to an album, right? I think it was because Joy Division had a lot of singles, like non-album singles.
Huh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is off of a collection that I found.
Right.
Right.
I dig the sound.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't missed anything. There's no vocals yet, right?
Nah,
it's coming.
Yeah, it takes a while to
come in
vocal-wise.
I love the bass line.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to the drums.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting history about Joy Division's producer, and because the band is from Manchester, and at the time in the 70s, Manchester was just this like really depressing, bleak town. And in order to capture the Manchester sound, you know, there's stories about how the band would record in like freezing temperature rooms, and adding all sorts of like effects in it to capture the sound of what the city looked like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. I still didn't miss anything yet, right?
Well, no.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got like a super long intro on this.
Because this is like 2 minutes in.
Yeah. If we don't get some vocals today.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. I was like, is there something wrong with my connection? Because I know if it's connected weird, it'll cut off some some of the audio.
Yeah. Actually, there's not a whole lot of singing in this song.
Yeah, because it's there's like a minute and a half left in the song. Yeah. So listening to that, what do you rate? What do you rate this version?
Gee, that's tough. I mean, I don't know.
you can give it a 5. It's okay.
Okay.
Okay, 5. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's listen to the Nine Inch Nails version.
It'll be fun.
Actually, I like this already, like a little more than the other one. But I didn't rate it, so you don't know what my rating was.
It feels slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Hey, the vocals come in earlier on this one.
Yeah, I think that other one had like an extra long intro or something.
What's weird, because the length of the songs look about the same, but he came in like before 2 minutes, and the other one came in after 2 minutes.
Maybe he's at the end.
Yeah, he probably flipped some arrangement.
So I think if they kept the same structure, it would have been like a 7-minute song.
Yeah,
or something.
I like this.
You can hear 90s Nine Inch Nails there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think it's well done.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, and it, like the other ones that we had before, sounds close enough to it, but it doesn't sound like I think I'm gonna go ahead and throw them under the bus. So while I was not these guys, but while I was doing my research, I found this. So Weezer had a album come out. It was a cover album last year, I think, or the end of 2019. Okay. And you know the whole thing about that Toto Africa song, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a fan suggested they cover Toto's Africa, right? So I didn't know that it was on a cover album. So when I went to the to that album of covers, all the songs legit sounded identical. Like, there was no change at all. Like, they did a couple of other ones. I can't tell you right off the bat. We can talk about it after the show. But I think the one they did, like, one metal song. Actually, I'll pull it up after this. I'll pull up the album. But, Britt, what do you rate this Nine Inch Nails?
I don't know. That's really tough. I mean, I think the original version I rate high because of, like, my attachment to it and my attachment to that band, but
they can both be five. One doesn't have to be higher than the other.
That's true. Okay. We'll do that.
Five? Okay. So, no, those were good. And on this one, just my, I mean, I like the nine, I like both of them, but I think the Nine Inch Nails one is a
bit.
So that Weezer one that I was telling you about, Toto Africa's is on there. Toto's Africa's on there. Everybody Wants to Rule the World is on there. Okay. It sounds identical to the original one.
Okay.
Take on Me is on there.
Okay.
Sounds identical to the, I mean, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This.
Is this
sounds
all, identical. Did they just cover everything from the 80s?
No. Well, yeah, I guess so. Billie Jean's on here.
Yeah.
The one rock song they had on here was Paranoid.
Okay.
From Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. Okay.
Which actually, I can play a little clip of it real quick, but this is Weezer covering Black Sabbath. And it just sounds out of place to me, but all the other ones are like, huh. I give it a one. Like, why did you do it? It just sounds like a karaoke version.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that they try to capture that Ozzy vocal feel, because, you know, Ozzy's vocals in the original, you know, it's got that echo to it.
Yeah. And the whiny Ozzy voice. Sorry.
And this sounds identical, too. I would think I'm listening to the original version, so I give it a one. It's like they took, it's like I said, it's like karaoke.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
It's identical. Like, so every song on here is sounds exactly like they're, like
that's
they're.
So odd.
I'm going to give that a one. Here's another one just real quick. I'll do the last one, and then we'll jump to Kim. But yeah. I mean, it sounds a tad bit different, but
just because they're using real drums. Yeah.
I'll give it a one. I don't know why they made this album. I mean, it's like, I ran into this because I don't follow Weezer. So when I bumped into this, I was like, oh, okay, the Toto Africa, whatever, covers, whatever. Yeah.
And then Weird Al's in that video, so that saves it.
Yeah. You see, and I thought that was good, but I didn't know it was part of a covers album. And then when I heard the rest, I was like, oh, wow. I was like, they don't, there's nothing there. But whatever. Yeah. All right, guys. Good pick so far. Kim, what you got?
So you're making me choose three, right?
Yeah, yeah, three.
Because I had like more. So I'm
I had more. Yeah,
one.
I had more too. But yeah, no, we're going to do three this episode.
Okay.
Cool. What are we on? Y'all all hit two, right?
Two.
Kim, you're on.
I'm on two.
Yeah, you're on two. No, in no specific order. Just
I'm trying to like figure out which one I want to mention then. I'll mention this one because we both like it.
Okay.
The Ataris, Boys of Summer, covering the Eagles vocalist and drummer, Don Henley.
Don Henley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the original was 1984 and then the Ataris version came out in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I love this cover.
Yeah.
Love.
I love both versions, actually.
Yeah, the Don Henley version.
I'm
awesome.
A big
yeah. That I like both versions. Yeah, yeah. But I love this.
So
cover.
Here's the original version, which I know we're all familiar with. We're gonna hear a clip, so Kim can rate it. I love that intro.
Yeah,
that guitar. Mm-hmm. It's just a fucking.
They're both vibes.
Yeah,
you
awesome.
Didn't even.
Yeah,
they're both vibes.
Yeah, it's a great song.
This is an awesome cover. I mean, an awesome chorus. And then the Ataris, it sounds just as good, but more.
Yes.
So let me go to the Ataris real quick.
And actually, the Atari's version was the first one I heard of two.
Really?
And I thought it was theirs.
Oh.
You know.
So, funny story.
I was in high school. I didn't know a whole lot then.
That's okay.
And that's why I love this, because like it reminds me. I mean, it came out when I was a freshman, I guess. And so my family goes to the beach every Labor Day weekend. And it was just like that, like on that playlist. It was just like that summer of me like getting into high school. And like when we went to the beach, like I got to be on my own and meet other teens and like have fun. Like it was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So like this one, I don't know. I always liked both versions. And then when I heard this one, I was like, I wasn't too familiar with the Ataris. But I remember, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a show that came on what network was it? On the, like, CW, it was the WB or whatever before. Mm-hmm. It was called Pepsi Smash. And so artists would perform on there. Like, you had Papa Roach, Godsmack, there were pop artists. Like, so it was like 30 minutes of like just bands that were out at that time with a single. Ataris performed one day on that.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, it's a pretty cool cover, right? Mm-hmm. So then I always, from then on, I always loved both versions. So 2017, I think that's when I met CKY. So I went to the last Warped Tour that was here in San Antonio, well, that I went to. And so I'm there by myself. What the heck? I'm not talking to myself. Okay, so anyways, so I'm there by myself, and I'm waiting for CKY to go on. You guys know I'm a big CKY fan. And so there's this big crowd behind me, and all the stages are close together. I don't know who's playing. I know Gore's going to be playing later on, which I ended up seeing some of Gore's set. And there's this big crowd, and I turn around, and the Ataris are behind me, and they started playing this song, which was their last song. And I was like, what the hell? So I got to see the Ataris play this song at Warped Tour, which is fucking awesome. Like, I just, it was just like by chance, like they were behind me and I just turned around and they were there. But
I ran into you at that Warped.
Oh yeah, you did. That's right. I was chugging like a energy drink. Yeah. And yeah, he was setting up he was doing part of your roadie gig.
Yeah.
I forgot I ran into you. That's funny.
Yeah. Both versions to me get a 5. I love the little like punk rock nod where they change the Deadhead sticker to Black Flag sticker.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's a good
one. It's just, I love it. I don't know, it's great.
And the chorus kicks
in.
Dance. I love the chorus on this one too. Just more aggression. It sounds.
It's a little faster.
It didn't take away from the original.
Of the time that it came out. Yeah. 03. Very.
It's a good pick.
Love it.
Good pick. Definitely it wasn't on my list today, but. So my number two, this is funny because the cover that I picked is also off of Garage Incorporated.
Okay.
So, and this one was a hard one for me because I love that whole album and I could have easily gone without picking a song off of there, but this one, I picked this song because I also love the original and I hadn't heard the original until last year. So the song is Astronomy. The original version was from, was by Blue Oyster Cult, came out in 1974. Okay. It was on their Secret Treaties album. There's actually 5 versions of that song, Blue Oyster Cult's versions. Mm-hmm. So they came out with 5 different versions between the original from 74 to 2002. So up until 2002, they had another version of that song. Metallica covered it in Garage Incorporated, like Frank was talking about, Turn the Page earlier, which was released in 98. So we're going to listen to the Blue Oyster Cult one too. And kind of like the chauffeur, it's very dreamy and it has like a certain mood to it. That I really like it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. I wasn't until this past year, but let me go ahead and play some of Astronomy for you. Frank, are you familiar with the original version?
No, but everybody knows the cowbell song.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, of course, everybody.
Only Blue Oyster Cult, I know, probably.
See. No, not Blur. Blue Oyster Cult. Okay, so this is the song. I guess we'll listen to the remastered version. But it starts off like. Actually, I think the original version sounds different. Let me see. I'm gonna find the original. I think that's a different. That's one of the different versions I was talking about. Okay. I forgot different. Okay. So this is the version that Metallica covered, the 74 version. You can tell there's no drums here. Well, there is drums, but they're not as heavy as the previous version I accidentally clicked on. It sounds very dreamy. It sounds very moody. Mm-hmm. His vocals sound very spooky to me. Mm-hmm. Let me go. Okay, that's the pre-chorus part. We'll listen to a little bit of it, and then so that we can compare it to Metallica.
I'm gonna go on a wild limb here and say that that guitar is probably an SG.
Probably. Probably, no. Probably.
I mean, because a lot of bands this time were using Gibsons. I think, like, SGs were, like, pretty prominent at the time. Mm-hmm.
So soak in this pre-chorus, because the Metallica version differs.
It makes me want shag carpet.
Yeah, it sounds very like that.
Yeah.
Super 70s
deluxe. I give this version like a... I like it a lot. I grew to... It doesn't sound like the Blue Oyster Cult that I know. This sounds more not as refined as the Blue Oyster Cult that we know, like, that it's more mainstream. Mm-hmm. So this was before that. Mm-hmm. I give it like a 4. I like it a lot.
I dig it.
So the Metallica version... Metallica's version. Metallica's version, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, give it a 5. I've always loved this song. This was probably one of my favorite songs on the album when I first heard it, too.
What year was this album?
The Garage Incorporated? Mm-hmm. 98.
98, okay.
And I like how they fixed the key. I think the notes that was used on the Blue Oyster Cult version was a little... they were like... I don't know what the term is, but... They were not like in a normal scale.
Yeah.
This Metallica kind of normalized it. Fast forward a little bit. And then I'll fast forward to the part we just heard. You'll soon be married, and you want to know where winds come from. Well, it's never said at all. On the map that can't it keeps the same mood, but it's more refined. And
yeah, it's really like crisp.
Yeah, it's crisp. Yeah,
yeah. It's probably weird, but I actually like the way the kick drum sounds.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. This album was mixed very well and recorded. Yeah, yeah. The drums sound very, very full.
Is this Bob Rock doing this?
Yeah, this is Bob Rock. Okay. Yeah. So this is going to lead into the part we just heard on the Blue Oyster Cult. The solos too are awesome too. The original Blue Oyster Cult solos are a little weird, but these are more but if you guys want to hear the whole thing, of course, like I said, it's going to be on Spotify. Any of these songs that we mentioned, you can hear both of them back to back on Spotify. I have both the originals and the covers, but this one I give a 5. The Blue Oyster Cult, I don't know what I said, but 4.5 I think. So that was my number 2.
Cool.
Yeah, and I don't know how familiar you guys were with those, but yeah,
never heard it before.
Cool.
I never heard it either, but I do like it.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Holy crap! I'm surprised. Okay, Frank, what's your number 3?
My number 3. This one takes a little bit of a twist, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna. Okay, so this one I actually struggled with a little bit because these two artists did really, really good covers of this next song I'm about to mention, The Cure's Love Song.
Oh, yeah, okay.
311.
311? You
know, they
added it to the playlist while we were in the car. That. Yeah.
They did a really good cover. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But then Adele came out with her cover of it. I struggle with it because, you know, both Adele and 311 do really, really good versions of The Cure's Love Song. But I'm going to give it to Adele.
Okay. All right.
Only, I don't know, I mean... I'm a big Cure fan, and I feel like if you're going to cover a band, pay tribute and, you know, respect and homage to a band that has a really, really incredible legacy. I think you have to come to accept that that is going to stay with you.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be part of your career. You know, it may not make or break you, but people are always going to point to that one thing you did. And yeah. I think Adele did a very, very lovely job with this song. I think the song is...
I did not know she covered it.
Yeah, she did.
So I'll add that on the playlist too, because I did add the 311 one.
And it wasn't a single, you know? But her version, I think, is very sweet, very lovely, very, very genuine. And I think, you know, compared to the 311 one, I think Adele's version hits a little more, you know, closer to the heart for me. You know, and I, like I said earlier, you know, it's covering a band of The Cure's legacy. To me, it's pretty impossible to further perfect a song that's already very, very popular. You know, and of course, the Cure is hugely, hugely iconic. And what I love about Adele's version is that she completely remade it into her own song. You know, it's very different. It's got a very bossa nova, almost jazzy style to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's different. It's definitely a brand new song. And I think it makes me appreciate the Cure's original a bit more. And I do like the original. I just think it's been sullied a little, you know, a little for me because it's overplayed. It's also a very lovely love song, you know, as the title suggests. But like I said, you know, it's gotten a lot of radio play and it like sullied it a little bit for me. And then you hear Adele's version and you think, wow, that's a brand new song. I think
it just like renewed it or gave it new.
It breathed new life into the original. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess briefly, what do you want to say about the 311 one? Because the 311 was a different, different style too. I mean, it sounds similar, but it was still kind of its own thing too. Like, Well, how do you feel about that one?
Real quick? 311 one, I do like. I'm not gonna hate on it. I do like it, and it sounds very 311.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
As it should. Yeah. No, and I think they did a good job on it.
Yeah.
You know, I could listen to either or.
Yeah. Like it doesn't sound like they were out of place covering.
Sounds like it could have been their song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Frank, with that said, everything you just said, what do you rate the Cure version?
The Cure version, you know, because of how overplayed it is, I'm gonna give it a 4.
Okay. I mean, it's still a good rating.
It is a good song, though. But I think it's one of those that, you know, like I said, if it wasn't overplayed, it would have a higher rating. But then, you know. Actually, the song is a love song to Robert Smith's wife. You know, did they get married? And this is like what inspired the song.
Yeah, I always heard that this was his wedding gift to her.
Yeah,
this song. Yeah,
and it's a nice song. You know, you listen to the structures, and I really like the keyboards in it.
If you could go back and like hear it
for the first time,
yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic song, but it has been overplayed and over. Yeah, to the point where it kind of hurts my heart because it's like, you know.
Right,
yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorite albums, but this song I kind of have to skip now.
Yeah, I know how you feel with, like, I feel the same way with other songs and other bands.
Yeah.
Like Metallica, certain Metallica songs too, like Enter Sandman or Sad But True. Like, especially, I think one of the main ones is Unforgiven. Dude, I cannot stand listening to that song now. Yeah. I cannot listen to it. But here's the Adele version. I've never heard it, so this is going to be new to me. Are you familiar with this one?
Mm-mm. Okay.
And this one doesn't take very long to kick in.
She kind of tweaked... Did she tweak the melody a little bit? Why does it do that? It
keeps no, I mean, she kept it. The same structure more or less, but... Once the song fully comes in, you know, the same structure's still there, the bass is still there, but you can, you know, definitely hear, like, the difference in it. You make me feel like I am home again.
Whenever it's crazy because the melody is like restructured, like it's there, but
and then right here it's where the rest of the band comes in.
like the chords are there, mm-hmm. but not the.
Yeah, they tweaked it a bit.
Yeah, they tweaked it, yeah.
I think the root notes are there.
Yeah, the root notes, yeah.
Whenever I'm alone.
It kind of sounds like a hybrid between the 311 and if you like put like some kind of, I don't know what the genre I could say it is. But it kind of sounds like it has a 311 vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it falls under the jazz category.
I was going to say jazz.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Not for some reason.
I think it's for noticeable reasons, yeah. right? It sounds like you're in a jazz club.
Yeah. Reggae and jazz together.
Like we
had a baby.
We're in a smoky, hazy jazz club. Mario's getting checked out by the older couple at the bar.
It wasn't just me. It was all of us, okay?
I was oblivious to it.
I know you were. You were. Okay, so what do you rate this Adele version?
This one I give a 5.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And I understand your reasoning because you said you got tired of the first one. It wasn't their fault. Like, it's still a good song, but I totally understand.
But to me, it sounds like a more mature version of the original,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's one of those few instances where the cover
surpasses
the original.
Speaking of Adele, it was funny because I came across, I think I had heard of it, but I hadn't heard it. Linkin Park covered Adele's Rolling in the Deep for a music festival. It's actually on Spotify. Huh. I haven't heard all of it yet, but Linkin Park actually. I think that's like one of the few covers that they've done. Huh. And even then, they haven't done any studio covers from what I've seen.
Yeah.
They covered Adele, which is pretty interesting. All right, so cool. Adele.
Cool.
Whose turn is it?
I think it's my turn.
Robert's turn.
Yeah.
For my third and final one. And okay. I have to remind myself what it is. Oh. It's Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
And then the Smashing Pumpkins cover.
I saw whole page.
I was
like,
going to say the Chicks.
No.
Hell no.
I saw that. Yeah. I don't know if I'll find. Was the Smashing Pumpkins version on an album or any kind of.
It was on Pisces Iscariot, which was an album of kind of B-sides and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's here because I like literally came across a webpage of tons of covers that Smashing Pumpkins has done. Actually, I think I have it open here. I can run off some of them.
They covered
real quick.
Depeche Mode's Behind the Wheel, right? No, mm-hmm. or no, not Behind the Wheel.
Never Let Me Down.
Never Let Me Down. Yeah.
So they covered, just real quick. Oh my God. No, I got rid of the page. Whatever. There was tons like from different genres, like, and not all of them were on albums. And I was like, this is insane. Like Smashing Pumpkins covered so many different, like, I think the Beatles were on there and like, just, I don't know. It's crazy. But anyways. Okay. Landslide.
Yeah. Landslide. So the original Fleetwood Mac version, I think is from 75.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Smashing Pumpkins covered it in 94. And then, yes, very shortly thereafter, the Dixie Chicks covered it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
The Chicks.
The Chicks.
So I'm so sorry. Yes.
We just had an episode talking about this.
I should know. I should be.
Okay, so this.
Formerly known as,
yes. So this is the 2017 remaster for Landslide from Fleetwood Mac. I love Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm. Before the skateboard guy made them popular.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. The Ocean Spray guy?
Yeah.
I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my.
By the way, I'm drinking a nectarine. This thing, this is awesome. They actually have a whole like display at HEB. But, I'll get you one.
Cool.
Now that I know it's good.
Cool, thank you.
I like it. If it was colder, it'd probably taste better. But so what do you rate the original?
I think I'm going to have to go a 5 on this one, too. I mean,
it's a great
Fleetwood
song.
Mac. It's
Fleetwood
Mac.
Fleetwood
yeah.
Mac, yeah.
It's Stevie Nicks. It's fantastic.
All right, let's check out the Smashing Pumpkins version. I have not heard this, so this is going to be new to me.
Okay, cool.
Well, right off the bat, it sounds similar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To my love, to the
expecting that. It's the softer. Actually surprised me.
Sounds very similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is
very similar. I mean,
I think, I don't know. I don't want to say this because it's probably not. I feel like Billy Corgan has a little more. He's like pushing a little more emotion in there, like in his vocals. Like you could hear more.
Like vulnerability
or
something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, Stevie Nicks has that too. Mm-hmm. But I feel. I think because he has a little more. How do I explain it? Like a little bit of raspiness in his voice, enough.
Mm-hmm.
What do you rate this one?
I picked these three because they're like all favorite songs, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard to be like, this one sucks.
Yeah.
But no, which it doesn't. I mean, it's really high up there for me,
too. Which is another episode, Bad Covers.
Oh, sure.
The songs
There's a long list of those.
So we're going to definitely do that.
Yeah.
I'd say like 4.8. I don't 4. know. And okay. I love this Smashing Pumpkins album, too. It's a favorite of mine. So it's good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, no, that was good. I liked it. I was expecting him to go more full, more of his normal nasally range. But,
yeah.
No, it was.
Yeah, he can get pretty nasally. For sure.
Yeah. And on here, he went more on the.
I kind of softened it up a bit.
Yeah, more from his chest, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. I like it. Okay. Cool. Dig it.
Yeah.
Cam, what you got?
I have Chris Isaak's 1989 Wicked Game. Has been covered many times by many bands.
Speaking of which, I just found out that a band that we talked about last episode, Theory of a Dead Man, covered it. We heard it, and it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked.
There's like no guitar.
What?
It's all synth. Yeah. We'll listen to a bit of it after.
Okay.
It's been covered by Corey Taylor and 3 Days Grace, but the best.
It's been covered by 3 Days Grace?
Yes.
Okay, holy shit. Okay.
And I love Corey Taylor, but I just did not like his version at all. But the best rendition of this song, in my opinion, is by him and the version off of their Razorblade Romance CD, because I know there's a couple of versions too of their cover.
Yeah.
But the him off the Razorblade Romance Wicked Game is like the best. That whole album is good. We're not talking about the album, but that cover is just like...
Which is funny because you know that I'm not a big him fan, but I do love that
the guitar that in that.
No,
like,
but
the
even
guitar his... solo in that, the guitar solo in that, their version is just like...
Well, you know how I feel about his vocals, but on that one, I think his vocals are...
His vocals are great. Don't talk about his vocals.
I don't like his vocals, but I think his vocals on certain songs...
I can't wait to
like,
hear this.
It's so weird. Well, are you familiar with him?
No.
No?
And that's another band that I thought was a Christian band.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, because I thought it was like referring to Jesus or something. And it looks like in the artwork, like the eye has like a crown over it. It looks like, doesn't it?
Do you know what the acronym stands for?
No. I think Frankie told me once. And
His Infernal Majesty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it sounds like it's about the devil.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So we're going to listen to
the best version.
We're going to listen to the Chris Isaak version. Then we're going to let Kim rate it. Then we'll listen to the hymn version.
Okay.
And then we'll listen to
Corey Taylor's version.
No, we're not gonna listen
to
those. We're gonna listen to the Theory version. So that we'll all hear it. Because you know what the Chris Isaak version sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna listen to Chris Isaak. What year was the Chris Isaak one again? Sorry,
89.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this video was rather scandalous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like his show. Didn't he have a show on Showtime?
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he had it.
I don't know.
We'll check before before this episode's over. Remind me. I'm gonna ask. I was gonna say Siri, but I don't talk to her.
Y'all broke up?
No, I don't have an iPhone.
You know, actually, what's her name? Lana Del Rey covered this one.
Really?
Live.
Oh. Okay.
Featuring Chris Isaak on guitar.
What the heck?
Yeah, like he was a surprise, like a guest. performer. I mean, this one's pretty timeless.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I
never dreamed
that I'd meet somebody. I forgot I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi. thought I was at home for a second. Frank, can you search Chris Isaak Show, please?
Chris Isaak Show.
Yes, Chris Isaak Show.
Let's see.
I can't. Okay, so while he's doing that, Kim, what do you rate the original?
Compared to the version that I really love,
3.5. Oh, holy crap. Shit. I mean, really? That's hardcore.
You can have them the same. One doesn't have to be over the other.
I know.
One.
That's painful.
I did that with my other ones. I did 5 and 5, right?
Oh, I don't remember that. I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And yes.
Sarah is so shocked. 3.9.
Okay.
It's all right. Like, I prefer.
Did you hear the other one first? Version. Or did you hear the.
No, I heard this one first, but I just love the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, the Chris Isaak Show was.
It was on Showtime, I know that, or HBO. It was on one of those, and it was raunchy, I think. If
yeah,
I
what? It yeah. was on. Yeah, it was on Showtime, and it was like a situational comedy.
Yeah. How many seasons was it?
It only ran for 3 seasons.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. remember like the promos for it.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. No, so, no idea.
The so the only version I could find of the him one, it's on the. I guess it's like a greatest hits one. I can't find the other one. Let me see if I can find
it. It's the
same,
right?
No, there's a couple of versions.
You said Razorblade Kisses?
Razorblade Romance.
Razorblade. Oh, I was thinking of another band, sorry.
Razorblade Kiss is one of their songs off the Razorblade Romance album.
Oh, here we go. Razorblade Romance Deluxe. What the heck? It's not on here. This is like the. Oh, you know what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, no, it's not on here.
That's because you're not on Spotify.
But it has 19 tracks, and it's not on here. Is there like a huge difference between them? I mean, if you could play it on Spotify on your mic, that'd be cool.
Okay.
Because I
can't. Try the one on the Greatest Hits album. I mean,
But you said it's different, well, right? Okay, we'll see if it's the same.
It is, but it isn't.
Definitely heavy.
So, and the band I'm in right now, we're actually covering this song. We're doing this version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like this
version. You know, and I didn't realize how deep his name Billy.
Bill.
Yeah, I didn't realize how deep his voice was, and I heard him like,
dude, his voice
talking,
is
like in an interview, yeah. He's like super deep. Like yeah. it doesn't match.
It doesn't match. Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't match who like what he looks like.
I like the backing vocals. Okay, so what do you rate it?
5.
Okay, I like both versions. I really do like this one a lot. Now,
they're two totally separate genres, and so I think you have to, you know, approach them like that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you like Chris Isaak genre? And if not, then yeah, you're going to prefer this one, you know?
So now, let's listen to the theory one real quick. And then
is the bad one.
Yes, this is the bad one.
I can't wait.
I just found out about this one, too. This was like under most recent album.
Mario just made the world was a yucky face. And no one could save me
but you. But you.
That's like in theater when they tell you to enunciate but you, because if not, it'll sound like but you.
It just sounds like
far away.
Like on this one, like right off the bat, it doesn't sound like the emotion is. It's like it feels dialed in.
Yeah.
So let me go. With you. I don't like that. I give it like a 1.
or a 0.5 or something. We have to rate it for legality, for legal reasons.
Negative.
Okay. No, you can give a negative. That's what. So I wanted y'all to hear that real quick. So that was theory.
I feel like it tries hard to try to be some classical piece.
Yeah, it sounds very, very. I don't know. It sounds weird. I don't know what they were doing. Like, Theory's not known for doing that, but like I said, they're starting to change to go into more pop direction to be popular. Mm. And I talked to Kim about this too. I don't know if I talked to you guys about it. Everyone's trying to. A lot of these rock bands that are like them, they're trying to dial into the Imagine Dragons kind of thing, where like they want to be like. A band, but that's playing pop, and like Papa Roach tapped into that a little bit. Theory did that. And there's other bands that are doing it too, where they're just like, they're trying to be like Imagine Dragons, because Imagine Dragons is like this,
you know, right?
Well, they're, I don't know what happened to them now, but
they were
up until like two years ago they were pretty out there. So my turn, right? Number three.
Yes.
So my list to finish off for tonight. It's so weird because I picked a lot of moody songs. The Chauffeur was very moody and dreamy. Astronomy was very moody and dreamy. Last one on my list is In the Air Tonight from Phil Collins. Same thing. Yeah. Everyone's familiar with this song. I don't know if I have to play it or not, but I mean, it's a good song.
Even Mike Tyson likes it.
Yeah. So it's funny you brought that up because I made a little note here. So I don't know if Frank remembers this, but so... This song was big on the, it was the first Hangover movie, right?
Was it the Miami Vice one?
Well, no. Go back to the Phil Collins version I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Phil Collins. So the Phil Collins version was big on the,
That's the Mike Tyson
version. Yeah, the Mike Tyson. So, you remember when we went to Las Vegas to play a show?
Yeah.
So I'm not even kidding you. We went into Nevada from California. We go in there. And we turn on the radio just to see what's on. In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins is playing. We were only in Vegas for not even a day, I want to say.
Like half a day or
something. Yeah, like half a day, right? Yeah. So we go in there, we hear In the Air Tonight, and we're like, haha, funny, right? You know, fucking Hangover, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Later on in the day, we hear it again. Then, I don't know if you remember this, then two times leaving at night, driving out of Vegas, still in Nevada, we hear it two more times. I think that's like the anthem of the desert in Nevada, and it's In the Air Tonight. But Phil Collins, so I love this song. Like, again, it's very dreamy, it's very kind of eerie-ish when it, well, as far as the lyrics go. This was Phil Collins, so I didn't say this before, but it came out in 81. It was off of his debut solo album. This was his first single. Off his album Face Value, it did really well. I like this version; it's very good. And of course, when the drums come in and Mike Tyson punches you in the face, what is it? It takes a while for the drums to kick in. There it go. So 3 minutes in, almost 4 minutes in, the drums come in. So actually, let me go back.
Wait, but you got to do the part.
I know. I'll do it.
There we go.
So there's the part. So the cover that I love is, you were just talking about a while ago, Miami Vice, is Nonpoint's version. It came out in 2004 off of their album Recoil. It was the third album. It also came out again for the Miami Vice soundtrack, which was featured on the film and for promo for the film in 2006. So this is funny enough too. I had gone to a show. And it was at the White Rabbit, and Nonpoint was headlining, but I went to see another band. And what caught me was Nonpoint playing the cover. I was in the front, the drums came in, and that's what made me start following Nonpoint, was because of this cover.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to go ahead and play the In the Air Tonight cover so you guys can hear it. And what I like about it is that it's really, first off, it's rock, but they added a tribal feel to it, because Nonpoint's from... they're like a Puerto Rican descent.
Right.
So it sounds very tribal, but it doesn't sound like forced. So here's Nonpoint In the Air Tonight. I'm going to give this a 5. I'm going to give both versions a 5.
I'm just glad you didn't pick the Disturbed version. Though I know you like that version.
Of In the Air Tonight?
Yeah.
You mean Shout?
Oh shit! No, they did.
Oh no, they did Land of Confusion by Genesis.
Yeah, close enough. And then the drums come in earlier. But. So right. Here's the tribal drums. When you told me you were drowning, I would not let you. It keeps the same feel, but it picks up the pace a little bit. Makes it a little more heavy. Mm-hmm. It has a little more groove to it. Without,
it's a little faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember this one on the radio also.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, they got a lot of attention for this cover. But I didn't know about it until I legit saw them at a show playing this. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this part blew me away. I was right there in the front. And then they just went off. And I was like, damn. And that's what made me get this album. I started following them more.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
You know, just interestingly enough, there is a bit of a Phil Collins San Antonio connection.
Really? 6 degrees of Phil Collins?
He's a really, like, I don't know, he's like an ardent collector of the Alamo. Like
memorabilia. Like,
I think we just
artifacts
saw
and things.
A thing on mm-hmm. that. What? Oh, it was Jeopardy.
Oh.
So we were watching Jeopardy like last week, and then there was a question about like somebody like who had like a collection of the Alamo, and like so people were like taking guesses of people. No, it was it Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because it was multiple choice, and one of the choices was what's his name? God dang it, UT. All right.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. So everybody chose Matthew McConaughey, but the answer was Phil Collins. Yeah. Like what? Yeah, like what the? I was like, I live here and I didn't know that.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, his.
Yeah, if you go to the Alamo, like that? Most of the stuff on display belongs to Phil Collins.
Really?
No, yeah, it's no like shit. His personal collection.
Yeah, everything says like from the personal collection of Phil Collins,
including the stuff in the basement.
Yeah. Get it?
That's why they built the basement, right?
I didn't know that. So there's my list completed for tonight. That was mm-hmm. my top three. Let me play the end real quick. Because he goes up there too with his vocals.
Yeah.
I think they just added more attitude to it. Mm-hmm. The feel's still there, but it's just more attitude, and I like it a lot. But yeah, so those were mine.
Cool.
So those were my list. I know Frank had a couple more. If you want to talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, I can. They all tie back to the same artist.
Because you're the only one, right? Or Britt, Kim, did you have any?
I had other ones, but we can
save them for another time. Okay, go for it.
Yeah, I'll just do these two real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, and like I said, they tie back to the same artist. The band called How to Destroy Angels, which is Trent Reznor's other band, when he's not busy with Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
They did a cover version of Brian Ferry's Is Your Love Strong Enough? And their version appeared on the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo soundtrack, the David Fincher version. And the original version appeared in the Legend movie soundtrack with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry. You know, it also doesn't stray from the original too much, but it also has its own, you know, voice to it. And once you hear How to Destroy Angels' version, you can definitely hear like some of the Nine Inch Nails elements to it.
This is it, right? The original version?
This is the original, yeah. Oh, and actually David Gilmour plays some pretty sweet guitar in this one.
What year was this?
It's like, what, 85, I think? Just one step. 84, 85, something like that, yeah.
I'm looking for the version you're talking about, and I found Trent Reznor and the Atticus Ross.
Yeah,
is that it?
I think that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's the girl with the dragon tattoo. Mm-hmm. Found it. Okay. So what do you rate the original version? Were you familiar with the original version before?
I had heard it once before. Yeah. And I like it, you know. I think it's for me 4.5. Actually, no, I'm gonna give it a full 5, just because I really like David Gilmour's like guitar, and you could hear it. It's and Brian Ferry too. Yeah, I think the David Gilmour thing like surprised a lot of people.
Well, this is cool. I like it.
Yeah. It's very adult contemporary-ish.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, yeah, it's a good one. It's timeless. It's a classic. And How to Destroy Angels, you know, their version also is very good. It sounds very similar. It's more electronic, a little more aggressive at some points.
Let's see. So this is... I'm right? This is the correct
version? Yeah, it's the one. Okay. It starts very quiet, and then it, like, slowly picks up. And I don't know, every time I hear How to Destroy Angels, like, in general, like, Nine Inch Nails is the boy, and How to Destroy Angels is, like, the girl.
Okay.
You know, so, like,
you were going to say the man.
No.
So you mean,
well, you know, yeah.
Well, one's the masculine version.
One's the masculine, one's the feminine, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like that with Chino Moreno and Deftones and, the other band? Churches?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Just asking. Just curious. Because I'm not familiar with Churches. That's his band, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he have another band?
No. Okay. So he's got four bands.
Holy shit.
Okay. So it's Deftones, of course.
Yes.
Then there's Crosses.
Oh, Crosses. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Churches. Why didn't you correct me? Churches is that other band? He just looked at me. Well, because I couldn't. Well, because I'm not familiar.
I know who
I just
Churches
remember
is.
It was in the same vein, you know, like, yeah, I saw, yeah, Cross and Church. And,
yeah. Right. So he's got that one. He's got Team Sleep.
Team Sleep. That's the
also
other one. Okay.
And then he's got another one, like post metal, called Palms.
Palms. Okay, that's it. You looked at me and you, like, agreed, and I was like, "What?"
No, because I knew what you were talking about.
Okay, but you didn't correct me. Okay, so this is, man. This,
yeah,
is, dude. This is like 2 minutes in and it still hasn't kicked in.
It kicks in. Trust me. Yeah. And like I said, it is more electronic sounding than the original.
Definitely. Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of guitar in it, but there is some guitar, like at the peak of the song.
So is this band like a super group, or it's just like Trent Reznor's like side project?
No. So what happened is, in 2009, Trent said he's not going to be touring with Nine Inch Nails anymore. And
lies.
Yeah, lies.
We saw him like a couple years ago.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. He said he wasn't going to tour with Nine Inch Nails for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
So he was putting it to rest for a little bit. Then that's when he picked up and, you know, did How to Destroy Angels. Yeah. So I think also, too, like, he had just gotten married. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to do some, like, stuff with his wife, like, musically.
Yeah.
So this was the result of that.
Is this his wife?
Mm-hmm.
Singing? Okay.
I like this, like, I actually like this one a lot better than the original one, but also, too, I wish they would have picked up with this, like, a minute earlier, because this doesn't kick into, like, 2 minutes, and I like the electronic and the electronics, mm-hmm, in the back. The mood sounds very,
right.
I mean, it sounds similar to the originals, yeah, that were on my list.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't have any Manson on your list.
No, and actually, he's like the king of covers.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, he is.
It's like every song he's famous for is
a cover. Okay, so you said, what'd you rate this one again?
I think they're both equally fives.
Fives? Okay.
Yeah, they're both good in their own respect, you know.
Yeah, no, they're good. Mm-hmm. I like them. And you said you had one more, right?
Yeah. So my last one also ties to Nine Inch Nails. It's Johnny Cash's version of Hurts.
Yes. That's on the master list.
Yeah, and I'm actually gonna geek out on this a little bit.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm a Nine Inch Nails nerd.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in order to understand the original version of Hurt.
Which is the Nine Inch Nails version.
The Nine Inch Nails version.
Some people get confused and think, for some reason, Johnny Cash. Yeah.
I know. I've heard people.
Yeah.
But no.
And I've heard Seven Dust covering the Johnny Cash version.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. It's like on their acoustic album.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not really. I kind of don't like the acoustic stuff, mm-hmm, that they had released for that.
Right.
I guess that's why I never went into it.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So the original Hurt, in order to understand the song, the culmination of the Downward Spiral, the song, you know, the album that the song is featured in, you don't have to listen to the album in, you know, in its entirety, because it, you know, it the song like works on its own, but the album itself is a concept album, and it's pretty much, you know, about the destruction of man and its different stages as this person is going, you know. And like I said, it's chronicles the destruction of man, this person who is like fed up with the world and decides to throw away everything that is holding him back, and in doing so he becomes this like robotic, powerful, mechanic like person. And at the end of the album, Hurts, you realize that he's done something very sinister, very like he just can't go back anymore. And so the track before Hurts narrates how this person shoots himself in order to, you know, pretty much out of guilt, you mm-hmm. know. And then when Hurt comes in, basically this guy is dying.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, symbolically dying. And the lyrics pretty much say, you know, like I hurt myself to see you know, what I could feel. It's basically saying, you know, like I'm hurting myself to see if I still have any human emotion left. Yeah. So it's basically like his goodbye letter to the world.
And you know, this is another band too where like I don't follow Nine Inch Nails. I know you're a huge Nine Inch Nails, and right. I feel like I was lucky enough for you to take me to a couple of shows, because I do like the Nine Inch Nails stuff that I've heard, and this song too, I like it a lot because of the buildup and the emotion too. Like it has an awesome buildup. So like I have it on right now, and it takes let me see, how long is the song? It's 6 minutes.
Yeah,
but it's all a buildup. Like it's so fucking awesome, and the lyrics too. How you were explaining them? Yeah, the lyrics. Right. It adds a lot to them too.
And I think, you know, I mean, I don't think Johnny Cash like got too involved with like the concept of the album or the song when he covered this one. But I think Johnny Cash's version is just a little bit more haunting because it was like his last ever recording before he passed away.
Yeah.
And I think when you hear like the final recording before an artist passes away, I think it adds more to that, you know, there's more emotion to it.
What do you rate the Nine Inch Nails version? Sorry.
I give it a 5. Okay. You know?
No, I like it. No, but you were saying, emotion. Yeah.
And also, too, what I like, I mean, I'm going to go back to the Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
And what I like about what they do with the song live, you know, you go to a Nine Inch Nails show, it's very intense, very roller coaster ride. And I think, you know, always like placing that song like at the very end of their set is like pretty much like a culmination of like the hour and a half, 2 hours that you just, you know, experience, and then like this one song, and it just like hits it like right there.
Yeah.
You know?
And then like also too, like you were saying, like this one, I mean this one's pretty raw for a Nine Inch Nails song, but the Johnny Cash version is even more raw too. Like
yeah.
And then like Johnny Cash had been through he had done so much in his life. I mean, the point where he was at in his life too, like that song, like it just came, all that came out in that version. Right. Yeah. So you give it a 5. So we're listening to the Nine Inch Nails version right now. And this, of course, is on our master list already. So I'm going to go ahead and play the Johnny Cash version. I like this version too. I had heard it a lot before too. But so I'm a big movie nerd. I like comic book movies. One of my favorite movies, and I like when they fuse the right songs to the right movies. That's when the whole soundtrack thing comes into play. Logan. Which was based on, well, it was the last movie for the Wolverine character played by Hugh Jackman, and this song was heavily incorporated with the movie. It was heavily incorporated with the release of the trailers and the film itself. And it's just about everything you explained. It was basically about Hugh Jackman's character as Wolverine. Like he had been through so much, you know, stuff, and he was done, and you know, he just had to do one last thing to see if he could still feel something. Which was part of the lyrics of the song, and he actually played it out in the movie. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie or not, but Logan was one of my favorite movies, and this song just amplified the emotion in the movie.
And I think you could take this song and pretty much relate it to anything in life. Like I know a lot of people like to also say that it's about a drug addict's like journey, you know, and like everything, like this destruction of path that he's, I mean, this path of destruction that he's left behind. And then at the very end, when he comes to like, when he hits bottom and he does like the one thing that, you know, just tries to prove to himself, to them, to, you know, to themselves, to see if like there's still something left in them.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the vocals have been.
I know that's what I was trying to find. I was like, why is it? Let me see. Is this it? No, this isn't it. Nope, this is definitely not it. What the heck? I don't know. I can't. That was weird. It sounded like an instrumental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, that sucks that the last song is like. It's funny because when I put in "Hurt," Johnny Cash is like the first one that pops up.
Mm-hmm. And that video got a lot of play on MTV when it came out.
The Nine Inch Nails one.
Johnny Cash's version. Yeah.
Yeah, on MTV, like they play music videos. Yeah.
It was MTV three.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the vocals would have come in by now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I don't know if it's the version or what, but anyways, but I know I'm pretty sure everyone out there has heard it. If not, it's on their Spotify playlist. Mm-hmm. But you said you gave both versions.
Fives.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool, because if you didn't, I would have been sad. But yeah, no, those were good. Was that everything on your list?
Yeah, that was everything on my list. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have another episode sometime down the line, and definitely it'll be three apiece. We'll do that, so you can pick another three if you want. If you don't have another three to pick, that's fine. But also, too, I think soon, I don't know. If you guys, I know we talked, damn it, I wrote it down somewhere. If you guys want to talk about bad cover songs next episode, sure. Just to have us have a back-to-back, you know, that's relatable, that's related. I guess we'll do that. Pick three covers that you think were bad. And so we'll do bad cover songs. And again, too, some of these artists are not, some of them are bad, but some of the songs and the choices they made were not good. And, you know, it doesn't. Yeah. Not all choices are going to be reflective of the artist or whatnot. But yeah, so those were our picks. And like I said, you'll find like 10 hours worth of covers on our Spotify. And actually, the time's probably going to go up a little more since I'm going to add songs that I didn't have on here. Some that I didn't even know about. Some I hadn't heard of. Some I forgot about. You guys have anything to say before we leave?
Nope. No, this one was fun. I mean, like I said, covers are... some good, some bad.
Yeah. Some ugly.
And there were some that are just like, man, I want to include it, but it's like, I got to pick like the best one.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then it was weird too, because like, I just want to touch upon something you said in the beginning of the episode. You said there's no gray area, there's black and white. It's funny because those Weezer songs were like the definition of the gray area, where like they did nothing. They weren't bad and they weren't.
They just didn't go anywhere.
They just didn't do anything. Yeah. They were just there.
Yeah.
They were, like I said, they were karaoke versions. They were, you guys heard it. The instrumentation was like to the T. Like it was
a
like
wedding band. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Weezer playing at your wedding.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I mean, like I said, so we'll do next episode, bad covers. If you guys have any opinion on bad covers, just email us or let us know on our social media, rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. Listen to our podcast everywhere. Listen to podcasts. We actually just got added to a new thing today. There was this new website that came out called Verbal. I think it's V-E-R-B-L. And I posted it on our Twitter. We just got added to that directory. So now we're on another podcast servicing site.
Cool.
That also plays music as well. But yeah, so we're on Verbal now. And yeah, you can find us everywhere, Spotify and all that good stuff. So yeah, with that said, I guess we'll see you guys next weekend. And happy birthday again to Britt.
Yay, thank you.
Hope you had fun this episode.
Definitely.
Yeah, and actually, we have a birthday next week too.
Yeah, Mario's birthday. Mario,
I just said it and I forgot. I'm like, what?
Could it be? I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll, all right, guys, we'll see you guys next weekend. And say happy birthday to Brett on our social media. Just tell us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Okay. Later, guys.
Bye.
Cheers.